stalled negotiations over a coronavirus relief bill have leapt back to life on Capitol Hill.
There's a lot of different proposals that just were quickly unleashed today, given that the end of year sprint is definitely starting, but it's not quite clear yet whether there will be a path to consensus.
And what the NASDAQ is doing to improve diversity in listed companies' boardrooms. Plus, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark, and it's mink. It's Tuesday, December 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. NASDAQ has filed a proposal with the Securities and Exchange Commission that would require companies listed on the exchange to have at least one woman and at least one person from an underrepresented minority group on their boards. In a review carried out over the past 6 months, NASDAQ found that more than three-quarters of its listed companies would not have met that requirement. If the rule is approved, companies that do not comply would have to explain why not and could be subject to delisting. We spoke to NASDAQ CEO Adena Friedman about the proposed rule.
Frankly, this year and all of the experiences that we've all had this year, I think has really raised the awareness in corporate America around the benefits of diversity and also the leadership that we can take in making those small steps but important steps towards improving the diversity of our companies and improving opportunities for people from all backgrounds. And we do think that this effort here is one of those important steps that NASDAQ can take to help push the needle along.
We'll have more from that interview with Adena Friedman on our website, WSJ.com, and on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing, tomorrow morning. U.S. shoppers spent about 14% less on purchases from Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday as compared to the same time last year, according to a survey from the National Retail Federation and Prosper Insights. There were also fewer in-store shoppers, with more Americans opting to buy online. Our reporter Allison Prang has more.
The head of the NRF, Matthew Shea, actually noted that the reason for the drop is that people have already been shopping, basically. He also mentioned that more than half of holiday shoppers indicated they took advantage of those early holiday sales. We've seen in the pandemic sort of this elongated period for shopping. It'll be interesting to see what we see in terms of retail going forward as we get closer to Christmas.
Salesforce has agreed to buy the workplace messaging software Slack. The $27.7 billion cash and stock deal would turn the combined company into one of the biggest players in the competitive business software market. The purchase still has to clear Slack shareholder and regulatory approval, but the deal opens up a new front in Salesforce's battle with Microsoft, which has the rival software suite Teams. Both Pfizer and its partner BioNTech, as well as drug maker Moderna, are seeking approval for their coronavirus vaccines from the European Union. EU officials are expected to make a decision on at least one of the vaccines by the end of the month. If that happens, vaccines could be marketed there as soon as this month, according to people familiar with the discussions. Attorney General William Barr has appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham a special counsel to continue investigating the origins of the FBI's 2016 Russia investigation. The move gives Durham extra protection to continue the investigation under the Biden administration. Barr told the Associated Press in an interview today that the Justice Department hasn't found evidence of widespread voter fraud that could reverse President-elect Joe Biden's victory. That was a direct contradiction to President Trump, who is still launching legal challenges to the results of the election. The president's legal advisors rejected Barr's conclusion. President-elect Joe Biden formally introduced his economic team today, saying his picks will help the U.S. economy recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Former Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen, Biden's nominee to serve as Treasury Secretary, also spoke during the event in Wilmington, Delaware today.
To the American people, we will be an institution that wakes up every morning thinking about you. Your jobs, your paychecks, your struggles, your hopes, your dignity, and your limitless potential.
Biden is urging Congress to pass a coronavirus relief bill, but said a larger effort would be needed under his administration to address the long-term impact of the pandemic. We'll talk more about that after the break. Lawmakers are back in Washington, and there's a lot on the agenda during the lame duck session. They need to pass a spending plan before a looming deadline next week. And there's pressure to reach an agreement on another round of coronavirus relief before the end of the year. But a big unknown, even if Congress does reach a consensus, is how President Trump will respond. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Christina Peterson. Hi, Christina. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with stimulus talks, which now appear to be restarting. What can you tell us about the latest there?
So we've had basically a blitz of new proposals coming out today. There was a $908 billion proposal from a bipartisan group of House and Senate lawmakers this morning that was sort of aimed at being a compromise between what Democrats and Republicans have offered in the past. And then a couple of hours after that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that he had circulated a new GOP proposal that he said reflected what he thought President Trump would be willing to sign after talking with White House officials and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He also mentioned that he had received a new offer from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. We don't know a lot of details about the Democratic leader's latest proposal. That's a little bit of a question mark right now, but we do know that the new GOP proposal is pretty similar to what they've offered in the past. So, you know, there's a lot of different proposals that just were quickly unleashed today, given that the end of year sprint is definitely starting, but it's not quite clear yet whether there will be a path to consensus.
Right. And hopes for another round of stimulus relief had kind of faded before the election. Is there a chance that we might see something before the end of the year?
I think there is a chance. It is difficult. There's a reason that there's been so much of a logjam on this. There's just very deep divisions over whether a bill should include something like state and local funding, whether it should include corporate legal protections. And those are hard to resolve. But I do think that there is new impetus right now, given what we are seeing with the virus surging all over the country. And then also there are provisions from previous aid bills that are expiring at the end of December. And so I think the fact that that relief would also go away is giving some new motivation to leadership and pressure coming from rank and file lawmakers on them to make sure that they pass some kind of agreement before they leave.
Let's talk about some other priorities for Congress before the end of the year, including finalizing the spending bill. The deadline for that is just around the corner, right?
That's right. So the government's current funding expires at the end of December 11th, which is next week. So they are actually making pretty good progress on that, on passing a new full year spending bill. There are still some disagreements, in particular around the Homeland Security piece of this. As ever, the construction of the border wall and detention beds for immigrants are kind of perpetual sticking points. I think that discussion is going a little bit easier this year because Democrats know that the next president will be Joe Biden, and he will be in charge of immigration policy. And so some of their concerns about the wall and those sorts of issues are a little bit appeased right now. So I think there's a level of optimism that they will be able to pass a full year spending bill. But of course, when you get down to the details at the end, it is always tricky.
What else is on lawmakers' year-end list?
The third sort of big item is the annual defense policy bill, the NDAA, and that's generally something that passes with significant bipartisan support. And there's a little bit of a question mark this year because the president has issued a veto threat. He opposes a provision that would rename military bases named after the Confederacy. Slightly different versions in the House and Senate bills, but it is in both. And so it's expected to be in the compromise bill that's currently being negotiated. And so there's a little bit of a question about how the president will receive that and how that will really play out.
And you write that a big wild card in these scenarios is President Trump, who has not yet conceded the presidential race to President-elect Joe Biden. And his approval would be needed for any legislation that Congress agrees on to become law before the end of the year.
That's right. And one particularly challenging element is that states are going to be finishing up the certification process in early December. And there are some key deadlines that GOP leaders have pointed to that they've indicated will really mark that the election is being fully resolved. They have backed President Trump's legal challenges and not yet acknowledged Joe Biden as the president-elect, but it looks like that could be shifting as some of these final results are certified. And that could be kind of treacherous if that is happening and potentially angering the president right at the moment that Congress needs him to sign these bills into law. So it's kind of a combustible mix at the end of the year. And, you know, this happens pretty regularly on Capitol Hill. And some years it gets very messy. And some years there's a big push to wrap things up and get out of town. And one other interesting dynamic this year is that, you know, there is a lot of coronavirus that has spread just amongst the Capitol. And so I think there is a desire among lawmakers to respond to the need across the country and to also do it quickly so that they aren't just incubating it amongst themselves in the Capitol.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson. Christina, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, last month, scientists in Denmark discovered that a potentially dangerous mutation of COVID-19 had developed in mink, animals that were raised for their fur. The mutation would have been resistant to a vaccine. Our reporter James Hookway says the Danish parliament came up with an extreme solution.
So they took this decision to go out and cull all of the mink in the country. Now, that's quite a lot of mink. It's 17 million. And farmers were instructed to kill animals that they'd been raising for generations in some cases, and there wasn't necessarily compensation arranged for that.
But unfortunately, that didn't take care of the problem completely.
Another problem has emerged, and that's the coming in the shape of mink carcasses, which are being propelled up to the surface of the mass graves where they were buried by all of the gases which are emitted when their bodies decompose. So that's causing quite a lot of anxiety in terms of pollution for local water sources.
Now the government has to figure out how to get rid of the bodies and disinfect the entire grave site. The mass cull effectively ended the mink industry in the country. It was Denmark's third largest agricultural export, generating $750 million in sales last year. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.